you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending the sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I'm finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all that you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We've done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel, we hear the apostles beg Jesus for what we have been asking him since last October 11th when we began the year of faith. Increase our faith. The year of faith has been up until now an opportunity for God to stir into a flame the gift of God we have received, as we hear in today's second reading. With St. Paul, we recognize our faith as a rich trust that we're called to guard, as a norm that guides us in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Habakkuk, the prophet, tells us in the first reading that the just one, the one who's in a right relationship with God, will live because of his faith. And this year of faith has been precisely to help us to live by faith, to live it with a greater fire, to guard it as we beg God for the grace to increase it so that we can live a life truly just more and more. To live by faith, as we know, isn't easy. The prophet Habakkuk felt surrounded by destruction, violence, strife, and calamitous discord that got him to cry out to the Lord for help. St. Paul wrote to St. Timothy today with his hands chained to prison walls in Rome. He reminded the young bishop that God didn't give us a spirit of cowardice, that even if we should suffer, none of us should be ashamed to give witness to the Lord and to bear our share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Each of us will have a share of hardship in living this faith. Jesus many times reminded us that in giving witness to our faith in him, we would often suffer rejection. That if they hated him, they'd hate us. That just as he would be rejected and crucified, each of us would likewise need to assume a cross to follow him. But in it all, he said to us, "Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven, for thus they persecuted all the prophets who were before you." This year of faith is meant to strengthen us for those challenges. The challenges that come when we share our faith with others. The difficulties of living by faith when others make fun of us for doing so. Or when even our employers or our government starts to try to coerce us to act against the truth God's revealed to us in our conscience. The Lord did not give us a spirit of cowardice. And when we boldly soldier on, when we suffer because of Christ, our faith is increased. And so, when we say, "Lord, increase our faith," often the way he's not going to respond is by sending down a lightning bolt and all of a sudden making us holier without an effort. When we say, "Increase our faith," the Lord's often going to send tests for faith. And when we pass those tests with his help, our faith grows. Today, the first Sunday of October, is a day on which the Lord's going to test our faith in the hope it will grow. First Sunday of October is always Respect Life Sunday in the church in the United States. It's an opportunity for each of us to examine whether we're living by faith, about whether we're not ashamed to give witness to the Lord with respect to the dignity, beauty, and precious value of every human life, whether one is handicapped, productive, wanted, appreciated, or not. It's an opportunity for each of us to ask ourselves, as Jesus said at the end of the gospel today, whether we have done what we were commanded to do by Him with regard to being good shepherds of those whom wolves want to maul and murder. In this year of faith, it's an opportunity for us to ask the Lord to increase our faith in all that He's taught us about the sacredness of every human life and about how the way we treat others is effectively the way we treat Jesus Himself. He tells us emphatically that whatever we do to the least of His brothers and sisters, we do to Him. And whoever receives a little child in His name receives Jesus Himself. There's been a lot of confusion spread, mainly by the secular media, with regard to recent interviews by Pope Francis. The impression's been given that Pope Francis is saying that those in the church should stop talking about things like abortion or same-sex marriage or contraception. This isn't what he's been saying at all. But what he's been stressing is that our conversation on these topics and others always needs to take place within the context of Jesus' will to save, His desire to show mercy, His hunger to embrace us with love no matter what we've done, His passion to bind our wounds and help us heal. Pope Francis has said that sometimes Catholics can get so obsessed with the evils around us that we can forget that Jesus came to bring good out of evil and turn even our worst sins into happy faults, as we say at the Easter Vigil, that convince us that His mercy is always greater than our misery. Pope Francis is not saying that we should never talk about the issues of life, sexuality, marriage, and family, but that we shouldn't talk about them as isolated issues, but discuss them within the bigger picture of the Lord's saving love that always calls us to repentance, conversion, reconciliation, and holiness. And that's what Pope Francis himself has been doing. The day after he gave the interview with the Jesuit journals that some in the media spun as if he were trying to muzzle the rest of the church on issues that many in the secular world would prefer not to hear, he gave one of the most beautiful testimonies a pope has ever given on the beauty of human life and the evil of abortion. It was an address to the participants of a meeting organized by the International Federation of Catholic Medical Associations meeting in the Vatican. Even though this address is the formal teaching of the Pope, and therefore much more significant than an off-the-cuff interview, it hasn't gotten 1/1000th of the attention, because it doesn't fit into the narrative that many of those who are opposed to church teaching in the media have been advancing, as if Pope Francis basically agrees more with the New York Times editorial board than he does with the Catechism of the Catholic Church on the moral teachings with regard to love, life, and family. I'd like to share Pope Francis's words with you at a certain length, making some comments along the way, so that you're exactly aware of what our great new Holy Father, on behalf of Jesus Christ, is calling all of us to do in faith. He made 4 points. First, he talked about how the right to life is the most fundamental right of all. He said, although by their very nature, healthcare professionals are at the service of life, they're sometimes induced to disregard life itself. This paradoxical situation may be seen in the fact that while human beings are being accorded new rights and even presumed rights, like the right to marry anybody you want, regardless of their characteristics. Life itself is not always protected as a primary value or the primordial right of every human being. As we're constantly trying to increase rights, we're forgetting about the most important right of all, he says. Second point he made, that our response must be a full yes to life in the context of a culture that throws away human beings as if they were trash. And we know that many of the times, outside of abortion clinics, in the dumpster, you'll find hundreds of aborted children thrown away like trash. In the court case last year in Philadelphia, they discovered all types of human beings thrown in the trash basket. Here's what Pope Francis said. A widespread mentality of the useful, the culture of waste that today enslaves the hearts and minds of so many, comes at a very high cost. It asks for the elimination of human beings, especially if they're physically or socially weaker. Our response to this mentality is a decisive and unreserved yes to life. The first right of a human being is his life. He has other goods and some are more precious, but this one is fundamental in the condition of all the others. Things have a price and can be sold, but human beings have a dignity. They're worth so much more than things and are above price. They're literally priceless. So often we find ourselves in situations where we see that what is valued the least is life. That's why concern for human life in its totality has become in recent years a real priority for the Church's magisterium, especially for the most defenseless, the disabled, the sick, the unborn, children, the elderly, those whose lives are most defenseless. Notice Pope Francis says that concern for human life, including those waiting to be born, is a real priority for the Church today. Anyone who tells you that Pope Francis is trying to decrease the Church's witness to life is either ignorant of what he's been saying or intentionally trying to deceive you. It is a real priority for the Church and will continue to be a priority of the Church as long as innocent human beings are being killed in their mother's wombs. Third, the Pope said that we're called to recognize Jesus in the unborn. He tells us, in a frail human being, each one of us is invited to recognize the face of the Lord, who in his human flesh experienced the indifference and solitude to which we often condemn the poorest of the poor. Every child who, rather than being born, is condemned unjustly to being aborted, bears the face of Jesus Christ, bears the face of the Lord, who even before he was born, and then just after birth, experienced the world's rejection. They cannot be discarded, as the culture of waste suggests. They cannot be thrown away. A tiny little embryo bears the face of Jesus. And when we kill that younger brother or sister, it's crucifying the Lord all over again. That's what the Holy Father's saying. And how many of us would want to say to crucify an innocent human being is a constitutional right that we should protect at all costs and that we should force people like me or nuns or you to have to pay for? Which is exactly what our president is trying to force feed down our throats. This leads, Pope Francis says, to a mandate, to a command, especially for us Catholics, even if we should have to suffer for doing so. The Pope says, Be witnesses and spreaders of the culture of life. Your being Catholic entails a greater responsibility, first to yourselves, through a commitment consistent with your Christian vocation, and then to contemporary culture, by contributing to recognizing the transcendent dimension of human life, the imprint of God's creative work from the first moments of its conception. This is a task of the new evangelization that often requires going against the tide and paying for it personally. The Lord is counting on each of you to spread the gospel of life. He's counting on every single one of us to spread the gospel of life. To be a Catholic means to have a greater responsibility to give witness to what Jesus says about the dignity and sacredness of every human life. Have we been fulfilling that responsibility? Finally, the Pope finished by calling all people, especially those who have care for children, both medical personnel as well as parents, including if the parents are teenagers, to be true stewards of life and good Samaritans to all those in need, and to recognize that the life growing within is just as sacred as any adult's life. He said, "You are called to care for life in its initial stage. Remind everyone by word and deed that this life is sacred at each and every phase of life, that it is always valuable. There is no human life more sacred than another, just as there is no human life qualitatively more significant than the other. A mother's life is not more valuable than a baby's. The son of two geniuses is not more valuable than a child conceived with Down syndrome. Every life is sacred. Every life is equally valuable. We would never allow Newtown to occur. We would all immediately react against that. And we need to have that same horror in the gut and that same resolve whenever children younger than those first graders in Newtown are being lined up for execution. There's another child killed in the womb in the United States every 23 seconds by abortion. What is our response to the Holy Father's words? In the front cover of this weekend's bulletin, I've printed the Pope's phrase, "Open your hearts to life," which he said in a 2005 homily in Buenos Aires in honor of St. Raymond Nonatus, the patron saint of expectant mothers. We're all called to open our hearts to life. Inside the bulletin, I've printed a letter from Cardinal Sean O'Malley, who in addition to being the Archbishop of Boston, is also the chairman of the U.S. Bishops Pro-Life Apostolate. And he wrote a letter to each one of us that I printed there for you to read. Cardinal Sean talks about the response and how we're called to open our hearts to life. He says the first thing we have to recognize is the context. He writes, "Since the dreadful Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, over 55 million unborn children's lives have been taken, leaving many millions of mothers, fathers, and family members wounded and grieving their loss." Think about that number for a second. 55 million. It's as if you wiped out the entire population of Fall River 618 times. You wiped out 618 Fall Rivers. It's like eliminating the entire population of the country of Italy. And it's 10 times the body count of the Holocaust. What are we going to do? Those figures aren't the end of the story. What does it mean to open our hearts to life? Cardinal Sean asks. He says it means to search our souls and acknowledge our deepest longings for Christ's love. Though we're capable of sins against human life, such as abortion, assisted suicide, or euthanasia, we're not beyond Christ's mercy. It's important for us to know and to share with others that Christ's forgiveness is offered even to those who have taken another person's life if they're truly repentant of that act, or if they've paid for somebody else's life to be taken, or if they've pressured someone in to taking the life of someone else, or if they've just looked the other way and not done anything. Mercy is available. Cardinal Sean says that opening our hearts to life means that each of us needs to get involved. He says we must respond to Pope Francis's call with great urgency. Opening our hearts to life in Christ empowers us for loving, merciful action toward others. We must give witness to the gospel of life and evangelize through our lives. We must personally engage others and share the truth about human life. In other words, we have to get into conversations with our friends, our family members, some of the times our colleagues at work. We must engage others, because it literally is a matter of life and death. We must continue to show love and mercy, especially with those who have been involved in abortion. All members of the church can bring healing to the world by upholding the beauty of human life in God's unfailing mercy. Only a tender, compassionate love that seeks to serve those most in need, whatever the personal cost, is strong enough to overcome a culture of death and to build a civilization of love. In other words, we're not going to change the whole culture just by pointing fingers, but by opening up our hands to help those who have been involved in this culture, who think that it's a better way forward. Let us open our hearts and reflect on how God might be calling each of us, the cardinal writes, to witness to the sacredness of human life and to assist in pro-life efforts. We may be called to help parents welcome their unborn child as a miracle of God's creation. I was so moved a couple months ago when a parishioner here who goes to UMass Dartmouth asked to come and see me, because his next-door neighbor in the dormitory had found out she was pregnant and was thinking about aborting her baby. So he came to me to ask for some prayers and also if I'd meet with the woman to be able to explain to her how there's help and to personally make that commitment to help. Because of this, one person's getting involved with a next-door neighbor who frankly annoyed him. He was willing to save somebody's life, and who knows what that child will become. Maybe that child will become one of the greatest human beings who has ever lived, but it was because somebody made the effort and got involved at his own inconvenience that that baby's life was saved. We might be called to visit the elderly and aid the sick and the suffering. We may be called to fast and pray for life. We may be called to advocate to our elected officials or to assist educational efforts in our parishes. But we're all called to get involved and to do something. Again, at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, have we done what we have been commanded to do? About those educational efforts in the parishes, they happen here at St. Bernadette's. The question is whether people take advantage of them. On October 25th here at 7 p.m., the beautiful new movie October Baby, which is based on the true story of a now woman who was an abortion survivor. Her mom tried to have an abortion, and it was during that abortion attempt that this girl was injured and prematurely delivered. And then, based on her true life story, it shows her journey of needing to open her heart, her own heart, to life, to love and forgiveness. It's a very moving film. I'd ask you to make a point to come to view it, and also to invite others to come to see it. It's PG-13. If you need any other invitation, we'll provide free popcorn. But October 25th, 7 p.m. in our hall. Please make an appointment to come and invite others. Then the following day, Saturday, October 26th, the Knights of Columbus from our parish and I will be leading a pilgrimage to Attleboro to pray outside the last abortion facility within the confines of our diocese. It's a short distance from the Shrine of La Salette, where the statue of Mary weeps to picture Our Lady bawling her eyes out. And what does she bawl her eyes out about? Because in that house of horrors in Attleboro, people made in the image and likeness of her son are being crucified, or even treated worse than crucifixion. Because of the presence of kids, I won't describe what actually happens in an abortion, but it's even more gruesome than a crucifixion. Would not any mother who loves children weep? We're going to go there and pray the rosary for an hour and a half. Give a charitable witness, praying for those women who, frightened, are entering that clinic that day. Praying for the conversion of those who work there. Praying that the lives of those children will be saved. Today, in the second reading, St. Paul reminds us that we have not received a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power that comes from our faith. Are you courageous enough to pick up the weapon of rosary beads and come and pray with me in the nights there on the morning of October 26th? I've never quite been able to figure out why so many Catholics are too chicken even to come and pray in defense of life. If you can educate me on that, please do, because I've never been able to figure it out. Please try to come on October 26th. And if you can't come on October 26th because of other plans that you have, totally understandable. But the 40 Days for Life campaign, 40 days of this prayer and fasting, is occurring outside there. There are people there praying every day. Choose another day to go up there and pray. There's a sign-up sheet if you'd like to come with us in the sacristy. We're all called by the Holy Father to open our hearts to life. In the responsorial psalm today, we sang several times the expression, "If today you hear the Lord's voice, harden not your hearts." We either open our hearts or harden and close them. Today is a day to hear God's voice crying out to us through Pope Francis, Cardinal O'Malley, and the constant teaching of the Church, and not harden our hearts to it, but precisely open our hearts to embrace it. It's a day to hear the silent screams of the unborn whose lives are threatened and make the commitment and the sacrifices to help their frightened mothers choose life. It's a time to hear the moans of the elderly and draw close to them as good Samaritans. It's a time to listen to the voices of all those made in God's image and likeness at every stage of life and open our lives to them rather than respond to them with hearts of stone. And every time we come to Mass, we get the greatest help imaginable for us to do all of this. Think about it. We all witness here that under the appearances of just a tiny little piece of what looks to be bread, Jesus Christ, His body, blood, soul, and divinity, all of Jesus is hidden underneath that appearance. And the more we recognize Jesus here, the easier it is for us to recognize Jesus in a human embryo, or in a ninth-month fetus growing in his mom's womb that we can see with an ultrasound, or in others who are suffering. It's the Eucharist and seeing Jesus here that allows us to see Jesus in others. In response to the culture of destruction, violence, strife, and discord all around us, today we ask the Lord to strengthen our love for Him and neighbor. We ask Him, especially in this year of faith, to increase our faith, to increase the light of our faith, so that we might see His presence in others more clearly and open our hearts with love to them. And we ask Him to stir into a flame this gift of faith He has blessed us with, and give us the courage, even when it's hard, to live by it, now and always. We have not received a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of courage to go out and live our faith and give witness to the Lord, not only in church, but in everyone whose lives is threatened. May Jesus strengthen us to be good witnesses and to do what He commands us. Praise be Jesus Christ.